Will they find a home? Sponsored by GEICO. Steve is intrigued by the paranormal.
Otherworldly spirits really make a house a home, you know?
Janice has different taste.
I'd like my house to not be haunted.
Compromise is tough, but these two won't have to compromise when they bundle home and car insurance with GEICO. It's easy, and they could save even more. In the end, Steve and Janice found a renovated Victorian that's only haunted from 9 to 5.
Okay, wife's home. Y'all gotta bounce.
Bye, Steve.
Bundling without compromise at GEICO.com.
This is the Bob and Tom Show. We are live in the Napa Auto Parts Studios. Today is the day that we have the Napa Tool of the Week. Who's the biggest tool out there in the world this week? We'll find out. We have in the studio comedians Tony Baker and Roy Wood Jr.
Yes.
These guys are on their way to the one of the famous comedy rooms in the U.S. of A. I'm talking about Comedy Club on State in Madison. Man. They're here with us right now. You can see them tonight and tomorrow.
Don't miss that show. That's a hell of a show.
That's the voice of Josh Arnold. Christy Lee, of course, is the lady of the house.
Yes,
Chicken
sir.
D across the way at the sports desk. And you threatened to do two more sports stories.
After the Atlanta Falcons earned a convincing 44-21 win over the Packers in the NFC Championship game, Falcons got that look. They're a buzzsaw right now. The team feeling a level of confidence heading into the Super Bowl 51. Of course, their fans are also confident. Let's see. One of the Atlanta Falcons fans, Jared, I can't say it. Tokars? Okay, anyway. Now, see if you think the same thing I thought when I saw that tattoo. What do you think? He's got, he went ahead and put Super Bowl 51 champions underneath his Falcon tattoo.
Right.
Oh, and put Lord. A crown on top of his Falcon.
Mm-hmm. It's not the most elaborate tattoo.
It's the hair that bothers
that's
me.
Very,
is that his leg or his arm?
That's his...
It looks like the top of his thigh.
Looks like it's above his knee or something.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But see, he had the hairs on the Falcon. That's
got to be his shirt.
That doesn't even look like the logo, right?
No, it doesn't.
No, it's those, yeah, those are shorts, I think.
Yeah.
But
it looks like some Egyptian symbol you'd find on a
He had the
pyramid.
Bird. He had the bird, and then he just put Super Bowl 51.
And you know what? That's exactly what it looks like, an old tattoo with a new part
right.
put on.
Let me just add on.
And the Falcon has a crown on it.
But that's not a good tattoo. That's not a good logo, right?
No. It's a lackluster tattoo, in my opinion.
You're right. If you said he did it himself, I'd go, oh, yeah, sure.
I think if you're a fan and you get that prophetic championship tattoo mm-hmm. before the team wins the championship and they lose, you have to give up that limb.
I'm not mad at that.
You know what?
You got to bet the house.
You're tough and you're fair.
Yeah, you're thinking like Tom now, I think. Yeah.
There are football fans out there going, oh, okay, I understand.
Wasn't there a person, the Cowboys fan, that did that,
Cowboy
right?
fan had the championship tattoo.
Already.
Yeah.
But see, he's got he just has, and it's the Super Bowl 51, he has L-I.
L-I, and he's got plenty of room for
he's
L-I-I.
Got a couple of years.
So if they win next year, he can make it L-I-I or... Yeah. Wait a minute. And then it's L-I-I-I.
The pressure's really on
55 when they go L-V.
Yeah, L-V is going to be a tough. then you have to start getting the laser removal.
That's very.
Do you have any tattoos? Are there you guys any tattoos?
No tattoos for me.
That's not a logo tattoo. This is a logo.
Is that why we did that story?
Here we go.
Chick wants to show up
the
guy.
Hey.
Yeah.
Redskins, huh?
Wait a minute. I'm going to flex it. Hang on.
Oh,
yeah, how about that? How's that taste?
Oh, man, the definition.
And if you live in northern Georgia and are an avid drinker of Sam Adams beer, you have one less option than usual to purchase it in the next week and a half.
Huh, what are they getting rid of?
An Exxon station in Gainesville, Georgia, just north of Atlanta, say they will not sell the Boston-based Sam Adams beer until after the Falcons face the Patriots in the Super Bowl.
That'll make a difference.
Yeah. Okay.
As it should be.
Hang on a second.
And Boston said they're not serving cheese grits.
Revenge.
From now on, when we do a sports story, turn the girl's microphone.
Thank you.
Okay. Well,
let's move
this on. Is serious.
Wait, what did Christy say? Christy?
I said that'll make a
difference. That'll make a difference.
I have to agree. Our guests in the studio, Roy Wood Jr.,
wait a minute,
Tony Baker. There's more to this boring story?
Yeah, it does.
When does the interesting part start?
A column written by Boston's Dan Shaughnessy. That slighted the Falcons for their history and prestige, or lack thereof. Felt Atlanta fans were pissed off by the You're right. Back to you. Go ahead.
They choke.
We have Tony Baker. Now, we found out a few things about you. Let's find out some happy things about you. sorry about your dad and everything.
It happens.
Children?
Yes, I got two boys.
Oh.
Teenage boys.
No!
17 to 15.
Good luck.
Be exact.
Yikes.
Yeah.
I mean, that's great.
I mean, it's tough.
Yeah.
And I'm single, but my son has a girlfriend. So I'm paying for his dates. So it's like I'm dating somebody but reaping none of the benefits. I'm the executive producer of his relationship. That's where I'm at in my life right now. I'm executive producing these relationships.
Now, we had a weird story before about a guy. We were talking about this off the air. This hip-hop artist, Stitches, who apparently has a semi-hit video. He was arrested in Miami. Oddly enough, he was pulling out of a handicap spot at a Whole Foods, and then he was later arrested. He had a gun in the car and handed the police a joint and some other issues. But we were talking about health food, and you were telling me with a straight face that a lot of gangsters are very food conscious. Are you a big food guy? How do you know this?
I love food. I'm a foodie for sure. Food over everything for me. Mm. Food's better than sex. It trumps racism.
Really?
I'll let racism slide if you can cook. If you can cook, come on.
Well, I can think of a couple stories in the news in the last year or two.
Well, like that Paula Deen incident, I wasn't even mad at her. I was like, I'm not going to let the N-word ruin what we had. This woman was cooking the good filth. Are we going to let her just, you know, she can call me the N-word on the invite to her house. I'm pulling up.
That's priorities. A good cook.
She can burn a cross on her front lawn and let me know which house is hers.
Yeah, so long as she doesn't burn the dinner.
You're right.
She can burn the cross, don't burn the dinner.
Don't burn the dinner. She could be cooking black dudes in there. Like, what did you put on Jamal?
This is delicious.
These Jamal fries are tremendous.
I'm finally really uncomfortable. So, Tony Baker hanging out with us. Tony and Roy Wood are going to be going to Madison tonight, as I mentioned. On State, this is both tonight and tomorrow.
Jamal Stein?
The Comedy Club on State is where you'll be. You a heavy drinker?
Not at all.
Smoker or anything?
I probably drink like 3 times a year.
Yeah, what occasions?
Random occasions. It's not even a cause for celebration. It's funny, when you don't drink, people want to know your story. Like, why? Explain this to us. Like, if you say that at a party, the music cuts off, everybody gathers around. What happened? Did you beat your wife? Did you kill somebody in an accident? Like, we can't believe you don't drink. But if I was to say I don't drink water, nobody would flinch. I'm like, nah, I don't be drinking water like that. Oh, yeah, I can respect that. Hand me that bourbon. Nobody would flinch. I'd be like, we got to respect water more out here, man.
Sure.
It's the drink of champions.
Why is that so true? God, that's funny.
People want the story.
Now, we do have time to grab Christy Lee for one more quick news story. What have you got over there?
This is a creepy old story.
Uh-oh.
An elderly woman claims she can help your eyes by licking them clean. And I said it's an old story because she is 80 years of age.
Oh.
Hava Celebic, or Nana Hava, as she is known to locals in her village in Bosnia and Herzegovina, claims to have cured 5,000 people. By licking their eyeballs.
Oh, my God.
She claims to be the only person in the world who possesses the ability to heal with her tongue.
How do you do that?
Thank you for asking, Tom. I'll tell you. Hava uses her tongue to remove pieces of lead, iron, coal, sawdust, and glass from eyeballs after sterilizing her mouth with alcohol.
Oh, alcohol. So if you have something stuck in your eye, she'll get it out with her tongue.
Apparently with her tongue.
Now, I will admit that... After drinking alcohol, I've had my tongue in places it shouldn't have been. But
right.
I don't think
you know. She's talking about alcohol, like
rubbing alcohol.
Thank you. That was.
She's talking about bourbon and whiskey.
I don't want any water in my mouth. No, that's disgusting.
I wouldn't let anybody lick my eyeball.
No, absolutely. But does it make that noise when you lick the eyeball?
Have to get in there.
It all ties in, doesn't
that
it?
That old lady mouth creaking open.
That one string of saliva.
Dog.
I got an old dog, and she's got bad breath. I can't imagine. God,
no. Now, as Josh said earlier, he thought that that it was an attractive young woman who could lick her own eyeballs.
Yeah, in which case, I'm busting out a ring.
But the noise it would make when she licks it, though, you know how you can hear somebody smile? To hear the eyeball lick is just, I'll keep the illness.
Yeah.
Just let me perish.
And who, how can you? We have to rush. You have to get rushed to some small town in whatever it was, Bosnia to get her to.
Bosnia.
He's got some glass in his hand. Go get her to the eyeball liquor lady.
Oh, man.
Ooh, that's really disgusting. And we're coming right back. Comedian Jimmy Pardo joining us. This is the Bob and Tom Show. This is the Bob and Tom Show. Officially, we are live in the Napa Auto Parts Studios. Joined by comedian Jimmy Pardo. And we are right now on Facebook Live. Just clicked over the cameras. Hope you had a chance to visit with us, Roy Wood Jr. and Tony Baker. They are taking off. They will be in Madison tonight, however. Give you some details on that coming up. Jimmy Pardo, he's right there. I see him.
Hi, Jimmy.
Good morning, everybody.
How are you?
I'm doing
truly,
okay.
Truly a Bob and Tom legend.
How do you get more handsome every time you come in?
I do the best I can. I think it's lotions, it's exfoliating, maybe some product in my hair. I got a mousse up in there.
Yeah. And you are L.A. thin now.
I'm doing the best I can.
Like sinewy and muscular.
He's a runner. He runs.
Is that what it is?
I'm a rebel and a runner, to quote Geddy Lee. That's classic rock and roll lyrics right there.
Uh-huh. Sure. Gotta love Rush.
As my son says, like, boy, Dad's got a song for everything you say. Which has got to be annoying to be around me, because nobody wants to hear ambrosia lyrics.
That's interesting. I'm sorry. What'd you say at the end there?
I said something funny that you stepped on, but that's all right. I'm to get through it. Come on, it's already starting.
When you say something funny, give me a signal in advance so I'll be ready.
I'll shoot up a flare.
You're just quoting Rush?
And then I quoted ambrosia. I didn't quote ambrosia. I just kind of just
referred
mentioned
to that. Ambrosia.
Yeah,
no, because ambrosia was in the news this morning.
No, that can't be true.
Holding on to yesterday.
Why?
We had a song. You had a news story. I didn't see it. Dogs apparently prefer
because of soft rock.
They did a test, and dogs prefer soft rock and reggae.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so dogs are the ones that like reggae. So now we found their audience. Boy, unless you're what, a freshman in college. And apparently a canine.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's your reggae fan.
Yep.
Pass. Every single... I reggae's okay, I guess, but
until
every song...
Until you go to the Bahamas.
Sounds like this. Oh, in the Bahamas, forget it. You don't like reggae when you come back. We're jamming. No.
Oh, you gotta like that. That's great.
No, yeah, I'd rather put a gun in my mouth.
The 18th time that you hear it at the pool when you're trying to relax.
As Jimmy Pardo would say, if you like that song, take a bottle, break it, and shove it in your neck.
Yeah. Stab yourself in the neck with it. I don't
see.
That's the worst.
Okay,
it explains the dog getting high on the plane on their flight in. That explains that.
Hey, by the way, Jimmy, your personal life, how's the O-man?
Okay.
That's his son, Oliver, and no one calls him that.
Nobody calls him the O-man, you a-hole.
Do they call him Oliver?
They call him Oliver. And then,
how old is he now?
He's 9 years old.
Ooh, can you believe that?
No.
It's bananas, right?
And he's a little Pardo. You should hear all that. He's funnier than Jimmy.
Oh, there's no question. There's no doubt this kid's going to carry me within seconds. He's going to be in a web series. He plays, you know, my father-in-law is Walter Kanu, who played Chekhov on Star Trek.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a web series called Renegades, which is may or may not be affiliated with Star Trek, I have to say, for legal reasons.
Right.
And,
I was reading about that.
It was supposed to be a Star Trek thing, and then CBS decided to re-up bring back the Star Trek franchise. So now it's just called Renegades. But Oliver is playing in a flashback sequence, a young Chekhov.
Oh,
cool.
And, he's playing his grandfather. Isn't
he plays
that
his
great?
Grandfather.
That's cool.
Great. I don't think I'm allowed to use these character names, by the way, in this story.
Okay, that's no problem.
A guy that resembles him. Okay.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
It's pretty neat. It was neat to be on the set and watch it, and they were all very gentle with with the children and whatever.
Does he have the bug now?
Yes and no. You know, he does impressions that all sound like a 9-year-old voice doing those voices.
Mm-hmm.
You
That's
know,
awesome.
So they're close, but not really. It's like he's got the cadence down, but it just sounds like again a 9-year-old doing William Shatner. And that's the other thing. I don't know what it is about impressions. Even 9-year-olds go to the classics. Like, he's not doing Rhett and Link. He's not doing anything topical for a kid.
Right.
He's doing Shatner. He's doing Walken. He's basically ripping off Kevin Pollak. He's doing Kevin Pollak's act. But he does. The other day, I forget, we were at the dentist, and when he was done, we go and he goes to the bathroom, and he goes out of nowhere. He just goes, "Dad, do you think I'd do a good William Shatner?" The answer is no, but you don't say that. I go, son, I think it's right. He goes, "Do you want to hear it now?" Oh, Christ. So now I'm trying to,
trying to wash your hands.
Well, I'm trying to go to the bathroom. First of all, I don't want any chit chat while I'm trying to take care of business.
Yes.
Sure.
Let alone have to fake laugh at a horrible impression. Right?
Can I jump in here real quick and tell you, Jimmy, that we need to start this as some sort of petition. I don't know how we get this done.
But, you know, I told you the other day that Match Game is back on the air with, of all people, Alec Baldwin hosting. I love Alec Baldwin. He's a fine actor. He has a great podcast out there. It's swell. It's okay. It's not great. But Jimmy Pardo should be the host of Match Game.
Well, from your lips.
He would be the ultimate
Match Game. Did you audition for that?
Match Game host.
They didn't do auditions this time. This was a situation where I won't bore you with show business behind the scenes, but we spent 4 months in negotiations. Only to find out that they wanted somebody else first, who I'm not allowed to say who it was. The first choice was this gentleman, and then Alec Baldwin wanted to do it. And then if Alec said no, we'll go with Pardo's production company. So it was,
every time, it's just not, you know how Jimmy is the master of, you know, chit chat and game show hosting, and his throwaway lines are incredible. And Alex, okay, but it's just stiff.
They just wanted the super famous guy.
I guess.
Yeah. They did.
They wanted to throw his name on it.
They wanted one of the big networks, and that's why it took 4 months of the negotiating. Had they just said, let's do it on TBS, which is where we wanted to do it because, you know, I'm part of Conan's production company.
Right.
If Fremantle, who owns the rights to it, would have said, let's just do it at the TBS, I would have been on the air a year and a half ago doing Match Game. But they were holding out for one of the big three.
When is it on? I haven't even seen it.
It's on, is it NBC? ABC?
It's on ABC, and it's the second
Primetime?
Season.
Yeah.
I think like 8 o'clock on Monday nights or something like that.
And how is it doing?
It did great in last year when they it was part of that block with Pyramid and what's the other one that they brought back?
Oh, Anthony Anderson, to tell the truth. Yeah. I think it's an hour. I think they have two sets of contestants. They do the first two for the first time, and then the second two in the second half.
I wasn't even aware that it was on last year.
I wasn't.
And that's another thing with TBS. TBS will push everything they
Christy
have.
And I have always talked about off the air that Match Game, the reruns hold up because everybody's drunk.
And they're funny.
they're funny.
And chemistry.
And the double entendre. And it's just
great.
It's amazing how well it is. Yeah.
Let's keep talking about my failures, guys. That'd be great.
Here's a question everybody has an answer for.
Yes.
Okay. Everybody has an answer for this question.
All right.
What was your first concert?
My first rock and roll show?
Sure.
Judas Priest opening up for Kiss.
Wow.
On the Dynasty Tour, 1979, the year of our Lord.
Well, that's another bone I got to pick with you. Chicago released a documentary, and you weren't in it.
Well, no. Are
you in the extended version?
I'm in the extended version. They had to cut 17 minutes for the CNN version. And
okay.
When the director first told me I was cut from that, I was upset, and then I remembered, you shouldn't be in this anyway. like, why am I in a Chicago documentary?
Because you love Chicago and you're famous.
Right, but if you're going to...
And you're from Chicago.
All of this makes sense. I don't disagree with anything you're
saying. I thought I tried to get away from his failures, and you're doing it again.
It went bad. I appreciate you spinning it.
And I missed Escape Room that you hosted on Saturdays.
And season two never happened.
Yeah.
Now, listen, let's just keep building this up. Good to be here.
See, I tried to go, hey, there's a happy question.
What about Funny Money? When's that coming back?
Oh, geez, that's been canceled for 12 years now. Anything else?
I'm surprised.
Josh, you want to jump in on this?
I have an idea for a new show, You Incredible Dick, hosted by Chick McGee,
Whoa!
Where every question
now,
is about...
To be honest, if there was a show called You Incredible Dick...
I have the rights.
It would just be you. Executive producer.
You would be the Alec Baldwin, and Chick would be the Jimmy Pardo.
Bill Belichick.
If I may, I'd like to be involved in that show as well. Let's not exclude me from that
program.
Well,
you're in.
There's a chance I'm in on this.
It's one of those questions.
Yes,
everybody you ask can remember their first concert, unless it was a Dead show. Then
Bad Company
kind of rolled into one.
Bad Company, JoJo Gunn, and Black Oak, Arkansas. That was my first concert.
Wow.
Dayton's Terror Arena.
It's very nice. Christy Lee?
I saw Bob Seger open for Kiss, 76.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so Kiss. So it was Kiss again. Your first show was Kiss as well.
Mine was the Steve Miller Band's. The White River Tour.
Okay.
It was awesome.
What's wrong with you? I love the Steve Miller Band.
It was awesome.
Did they do
Abracadabra?
Or was it before that audio awful?
No, it was post that, but I don't think they played Abracadabra.
That's because everyone hates it.
No, they don't. I love that.
I think that's like up there with Kokomo, where it's a horrible song that you don't mind hearing every time it comes on. The song Kokomo.
I have a Kiss story for you. I saved this. It came out earlier in this week, and I knew you were going to be our guest.
Wait a minute. We have a current. Is this the Paul Stanley situation?
This is the industry website licensing.biz is reporting Kiss has entered into its 125th licensing partner agreement,
wow.
Which means there's going to be a whole new slew of Kiss products available.
Did you see what one of the latest one is? In fact, you probably have it listed there.
Go ahead. What do you have?
The air guitar strings.
I don't have that.
They are what? Selling air guitar, Kiss air guitar strings.
What do they look like?
There's nothing
it's
there.
It's like if you're looking
empty
at it on a
box.
It's a pack. You know, it's on a peg. One of those. What are those called at a store?
Oh, display where you hang a the display package peg on the peg.
So, right. So it's the top of it is the cardboard with the Kiss logo. Mm-hmm. And it says Kiss, in of course, you know, huge font.
Right.
And then air guitar strings, air very small guitar strings, and then the plastic bag. And that's
and there's
it.
Nothing in it. Because
unbelievable.
It's air guitar. But well, they
what
also
are gonna buy them?
Is there a smarter person alive than Gene Simmons?
They I have waffle so. Makers. Toasters, bean bags, vending machines, pet products, model trucks, photo booths, and racing bikes all coming your way.
Wow.
You know what? I could see myself buying a Kiss racing bike. I got no problem. You kidding me? I'll put my pedal to the metal. Literally put my pedal to the metal.
Jimmy is a veteran.
You know I'm a veteran. I served for this country. I was in this Kiss Army for about 12 years.
Yes,
really?
You were.
I don't know. Now, Josh, you don't know me as well as everybody else here. I love this country, and I was in the Kiss Army. In fact, truth be told, I had to leave. I was willing to rock and roll all night. I was not willing to party every day.
Okay. All right. Well, yeah. Nonetheless, I thank you for your service.
Well, I appreciate it. I am AWOL. Right now, there's a 57-year-old man dressed like a kitty cat roaming the streets looking for me. And
you hear him.
I hear him calling, chick.
You hear him calling.
Yeah. Can't come home right
okay.
now.
Okay. Here they are. I'm looking at them right now. Kiss air guitar strings.
Yep. Isn't that amazing?
Nice Tom? Picture of the band.
Yeah.
There you go. Well, hey, Gene Simmons is a marketing genius.
He is a marketing genius.
And Jimmy is also, are you still season ticket holder?
I am not. I was a Kiss arena football season ticket holder for 3 seasons.
The LA Kiss.
Mm-hmm.
And right before season 3, I saw Josh as a way to bond with my son.
Well, okay. Of course, yeah.
I thought, you know, this was before the Rams came to LA. We're not big football people at all. We're not football people in my home. But I thought this would be fun. So we'll go to the arena football. It's a shorter game. It's a smaller field. It'll all be fun.
Right.
And so we went to season 1. And truth be told, we enjoyed it. We'd go there. We'd mm-hmm. eat horrible food. And we'd watch a horrible game.
Mm-hmm.
And then season 2 came. And we would go and do the same things. And it was like, here comes season 3. And I go, you know, season 3, I'm going all out. I'm gonna get, you know, where we're going to be, where we can catch a football.
Do it
sure.
upright.
At arena football, if the football goes into the stands, you get to keep it! The guy announces every time a ball goes into the stands in that annoying voice. And you know what you're going to do with that football? You get to keep it! It's like, at some point, you got to imagine, just keep the ball in place so we don't have to hear that annoying voice. So I'm hoping it's so. When they called me to renew for season 3, they're like, "You want to upgrade?" I go, "You know what? Let's do it. Let's upgrade. Give me the best you got." He goes, "How's second row look?" I go, "Let's do this thing.
Yeah.
Let's go second row. I want to keep a ball."
Yeah.
And so I re up. I drop $1,200 to do this,
uh-huh.
and which is admittedly stupid money, and I can't really afford to do that. But I see it as a bonding thing, and this is something special for me and my son. And I'm not kidding. I hang up the phone. I go, "Oh, well, thank you very much. Look forward to a great season." Click. I go, "Well, I got us new tickets, and for Arena Kiss Arena football." And Oliver goes, "Yeah, I don't really care for that, Dad." I just dropped the dough. Now the good news is they went bankrupt about an hour and a half later.
Okay.
So we got a phone call back going, everything is refunded, and there will not be a new season of Kiss Arena football, which I then did a dance around my house. It was because nobody goes to these games, so you can't even put them on like StubHub or anything and sell them. Like they're literally, if you went on StubHub, they're $3.
And, wow.
Yeah.
So it's over for the.
It is for the Kiss, the LA Kiss.
Shame.
It is a shame. Do you have a jersey or any?
I have a
LA Kiss
simulated jersey, or whatever that's called. What's that called? A
replica.
Thank you. I call it simulated.
So
I'm an idiot.
So to get back to the original question, what year did you join the Kiss Army?
I joined right there. Well, 77 when I got the Kiss Alive 2, I joined the Army.
Oh, you're right in the thick of it.
So now,
you don't know what I've seen, Josh. You don't know what I've seen.
Carnage.
And I'll thank you to respect me, sir.
No, are you? So you're currently in the Kiss Army Reserve.
I will be called up if they need me.
Okay.
Need me.
Right.
Yes, sir.
One weekend of a month.
Yeah, I'm always at the ready.
We have Jimmy Pardo here in the studio, and Jimmy associated with the TBS television, and Conan, And you are still doing some stuff with Conan here?
I have a production deal with Conan O'Brien. I'm lucky enough to have that, and we're developing shows and doing all that to try to get...
So we're looking for... We want to see you back on the TV.
And truly, I know you don't want to talk about it, but we need to try to get that show back on called, what, Race to Escape?
Race to Escape.
It was this escape room thing, Tom. And I would love for us to go
to... Oh, you guys should do that.
An escape room.
There's
you know
one
how
right
it works?
Downtown.
You know how that works. Yeah, I think it'd be great.
Have claustrophobia issues and...
Yeah, but that's part of it. You want I do too, but it's part of it because you're stressing out that you're in this close quarters.
But part of it would be us to stand back and watch Tom take control of everything. That would be
we've got to do
that. And freak out at the same time.
Oh, it's something I could be in charge of? Well, maybe we will do it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's what we found when we did the show. There was always the guy that came in who wants to be in charge of it and is the alpha. And he's like, no, this is how we got to do it. And then, you know, nine out of nine times, that guy's wrong.
So it'd be just like my life.
Yes. So you should do this.
It was really like cool scenarios and interesting clue. I mean, the Lady Dogs and I looked forward to it every I recorded it and I watched it every Sunday morning before football. Would you like to hear more?
No.
Okay.
We're going to stop going over Jimmy Pardo's failures and get back to Christy Lee at the Bob and Tom News Desk. What else have you got?
Probably not a good time to talk about this, but we'd have to do
it. Is there ever a good time?
No, not for this.
Yeah. What is it?
Mike Connors, who played a hard-hitting private eye on the long-running TV series Mannix, has died.
I didn't know that.
At the age of 91, he passed away yesterday at a Los Angeles hospital. He was recently diagnosed with leukemia, like just last week. Mannix debuted on CBS in 1967 and ran for 8 years.
He was
son of a gun.
I love how
his real name is. Was it Krekor Ohanian or something?
Armenian.
Krekor Ohanian.
Good friend Bob, he was an Armenian. Viewers were intrigued, and I love how the Associated Press writes this. Viewers were intrigued by the smartly dressed, well-spoken Los Angeles detective who could still mix it up with thugs. Episodes normally climaxed with a brawl.
It's a great show.
I used to love Mannix.
We all did.
Obscure Mannix trivia.
Wait a minute. Hang on. I'm going to write it down. And Christy, you want to write it down, or do you remember?
This is the one thing I remember about the show.
Yep, okay.
As soon as he says it, I'll know.
Okay, go
things.
Ahead.
Car guys will know this. He drove a custom-made convertible Oldsmobile Toronado.
We have a match, Toronado. We have a match.
I was going to say Oldsmobile.
Very unusual car.
Toronado was one of the first front-wheel drive cars, isn't that right?
I think so. Cool car. Ooh. And he had an African American secretary. That was a big deal.
Peggy, was that her?
Peggy,
yeah,
or,
big deal back
Gail,
in the day.
Gail Fisher.
Yes.
Yep.
And he's also in one of my favorite movies.
Which is?
Good Neighbor Sam.
Hmm.
Classic comedy.
I don't know.
With Jack Lemmon.
Okay.
And
that didn't even make the obit. I'm sorry.
Well, it's a shame because it's an overlooked film. It has one of my favorite running gags of all time.
He was in the Ten Commandments, it says here.
What?
Did he wear the toupee in the Ten Commandments?
That's what it says. I don't know.
Quite the,
I did not know that.
Quite the glued on pomp.
Who was he in the Ten Commandments?
I don't know. I'm going to look that
up. Jesus or somebody?
No, that's too big of a role. You'd remember that. By the way, I still make a Mannix reference in my stand up act. And know this, to complete silence. it's like nobody knows who that is. I go, who are you, Mannix?
I am so happy you're here.
Okay, let me do a Mannix.
He was very handsome,
and,
man.
Mind you, I am not looking at a computer monitor. I did not Google this.
All right.
Do you remember the first year of Mannix was different than the following years?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Because the first year he worked for a company called...
I can't remember, damn it.
Intertect.
Intertect, and Joe Campanella was the head of...
And they got rid of him.
You remember Joe Campanella.
Sure, I do absolutely. Not.
Okay.
Who are you, Campanella?
Not Roy, Joe. We're going to come right back. We have comedian Jimmy Pardo hanging with us. I didn't say. We will be right back. This is the Bob and Tom Show. This is the Bob and Tom Show. We are live in the Napa Auto Parts Studios. As I mentioned, the tool of the week on the way, courtesy of Napa, and the Bob and Tom tool of the week. Who's the biggest tool out there? We'll find him. We'll find him for you. We're going to get back to the action with, in the studio, comedians Nick Griffin and Jimmy Pardo. Both of they've joined us here. I'm looking at pictures of Joe Mannix's car from back
Mike
in the day.
Rest in peace.
The beautiful convertible Toronado. Joe Mannix, those of you not familiar with him, kind of a, 60s, 70s era TV detective? What?
Yeah.
67 to
67?
75.
Wow, really? Yeah. That long?
8 years. He had eight seasons.
And the actor who played Joe Mannix has now died. Sorry about that. Let's get on brighter territory, shall we?
Sure.
Better go to Jimmy, huh?
How can I do? How can I do?
How can he help?
How can I help? Nice. How can I help?
That was a slam at Nick.
Let's keep. No, no, no.
Not a slam.
Remember, I said there's a question you can ask everybody and they know the answer to it.
Yes.
Nick Griffin, first concert you ever went to?
It was Judas Priest.
No, really was
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it was the British Steel Tour.
That was a good one.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Remember who opened for him?
I don't. I want to say, I can't remember what the band's name was. It was around forever, and it was on its way down, but I don't remember who it was.
Mm. Did you could take a date?
77, I think.
No, I'm sorry. Did you take a date?
Oh, did I take a date? No, I was 11. I didn't have the guts then. I waited until I was about 30 before I could. I had 19 years, more years of learning how to talk to women. No, I did not take a date. My plan back then was to get a lot of beer, drink it really fast, go in, throw up, pass out, and miss the concert. That's how I generally would see a heavy metal. Because that was the heavy metal era, the late 70s, early 80s. So there was a lot of beer drinking. And
now, were you a member of the Kiss Army? Like,
I was not. My brother was in the Kiss Army. I can't tell you how many times, you know, we would be going somewhere as a family, and I would open my brother's door to tell him, and he'd be jumping up and down with a tennis racket and his hair in that little man bun of Gene Simmons, and then he'd, get out of here!
Was it the
Come
band Steeler
on,
that
Why
you
is
saw?
Everyone against me in this family? That was his big deal. Why is everyone against me in this family? No. Why can't I play my tennis racket by myself?
Yeah, give it a little privacy.
You still get along?
We do. We do, get, of course. Yeah, I get along with my older brother. Yeah.
Does he have a normal job?
He does. He's a stockbroker, portfolio manager.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
so in many
you
ways,
had such
he's
a
like,
look of surprise on your face.
No, I he's like,
what did you expect?
No, I think it's great.
Yeah, that's what my dad did growing up. Well, not when he was growing up, but when I was growing up, he did the same. So my brother took over his business, I guess.
So he's got a serious normal job.
He has
health
a very
insurance,
serious normal job. Yeah, and then
family members of his own.
He has no kids. He has a girlfriend,
do you have a girlfriend?
I was just let go from the team.
Were you? Oh, yeah. Nick.
You're looking to sign elsewhere, though, correct?
Possibly. Yeah. She broke up with me. I was going to say that I always like when the woman breaks up with me because I don't like breaking up with people. It's so difficult, you know, because you don't want to hurt the other person's feelings, but you want them to go away forever.
Right.
It's very tricky.
Yes. So can I ask how she did it?
Yeah, she did it over the phone. She didn't text me or anything. Why, is that what you're getting at?
No, I'm not getting at anything.
Yeah, no,
I didn't plan on taking this. I was.
Yeah, she just called and said this isn't working out, and I said, I can see what you're getting at. She said she couldn't tell. This is one of her big things was. She goes, I could never tell what you were thinking. I'm like, geez, I thought that was what was keeping us together.
Yeah, if you knew what I was thinking, we would have broke up a long time ago.
Exactly.
How long did you have a relationship with this woman?
About as long as the McRib is available. It's about a 4-month thing, and then somebody pulls the plug. Yeah, generally.
I'm not trying to dwell on it. How did you meet her? May I ask?
I met her actually. I think I met her on Facebook. She said, "I saw your show in New York City. I really liked it, and." You know, if you want to get a cup of coffee or something, and we did, and it sprouted from there.
Okay,
yeah.
Now it's done.
It's done. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's just so hard to date at this age. I don't know. I remember dating when I was younger, like 11, at a Priest concert. But I just remember that first dating pool. Remember that first dating pool, late teens, early 20s? That was a fresh pool. That was a clean pool. Yeah. I'm 30 years down the line. It's a dirtier pool now. You know, it's the public pool. It's Saturday about 4 right now.
Nick Griffin is our guest, single man, and now very single once again. Jimmy Pardo, happily married man.
Yes, sir. Been married, 12 years this May?
All right.
No, 13 years. I apologize. And then together, 18 years total.
Cool. And father of young Oliver.
Young Oliver, 9 years old. He's the greatest.
Have you taken him to a concert yet?
You know, we've seen Kiss twice.
No, really?
Yeah, I took him when he was way too young, and it was dumb.
Now, does he enjoy Kiss the way you do, or is this like the arena football thing where he's going to say, sorry, Dad, I don't like him?
I think it's going to spin that way. I think he's going to, I mean, look, they're not Kiss of 77. They're Kiss of... Well, they are 77. They're Kiss at 77 years old, I guess. So, I've got to write that down.
But
their
music is still great.
Their music is still great. Vocally,
they're a great live band.
Yeah, and you know, Oliver loved it, and it was fun. And then I took him a second time, and I don't know how you can do that. He fell asleep during that. I don't know how you can do that
in
a loud venue like that. And then we just went to see we saw Chicago on the 4th of July. He enjoyed that at the Hollywood Bowl. I just got tickets, by the way, speaking of the Hollywood Bowl, for Lionel Richie.
That's
an outdoor venue. That's going to be tough to dance.
No ceiling.
Thank you, Josh. That's a good piece of business. You're lucky you heard it. Your listeners right now should pull over, write that down.
I'm so grateful to have been here.
You're lucky. You're right. Thank you, Chick, for understanding.
I didn't get it. I'm sorry. Thanks for filling it in because I'm.
It's an architecture joke more than anything else.
Sure. I'm a big fan. I just missed that one.
And then I just took him to see the Trans-Siberian Orchestra.
That's huge at Christmas show.
Boy, hey, do you like your rock and roll soulless? We got a show for you. Hey, do you like your music? I can't even come up with another.
Did he like it, though?
No.
Really?
Oh.
So he's not big on bombast?
No, well, he is. He likes it. He likes the rock and roll. And, you know, he likes Iron Maiden. I'm never going to take him that. But he likes your heavier stuff. He likes rock. But he, nope, no way, man. This thing was just... Just kind of there. And, you know, great musicians, great, you know, great vocalists, everything about it on paper, like the people that are playing, everything about it's great, but all together.
Didn't work for him. Didn't work for you.
Didn't work. Oh, boy. I don't know how I wasn't served divorce papers the next day from my wife. She's never been less happy. And I took her to see UFO once.
Oh,
are you kidding me? I dragged her to see Phil Moog.
Now, Nick, this recent relationship you had, what kind of dates did you go on? Did you take this woman to concerts?
We actually went to Guns N' Roses.
That was supposed to be a great show, the new version of them.
It's fine. It was such a long show, you know. I don't know. Maybe I've hit a certain point, you know. It's so much waiting. You got to wait to get into the concert. You got to wait for a drink. Got to wait for the bathroom. Got to wait for the band. And then the band's always like, "Are you ready to rock?" And you're like, "Yeah." We're ready. We paid for parking. We bought a ticket.
No shot.
I can't hear you. Yes, you can. Stop it.
We Googled the
music list. Hall. It was built for acoustics. This is a sham. And I remember when I was younger, you know, I'd get excited when they'd say, "Are you ready to rock?" Oh my gosh, I am ready to rock. How did that guy know? You know. No, it's like, just go. Just
did she enjoy these? Did she enjoy these?
She did. That was, she's a little bit of leans towards the heavy metal side. We got into an argument on the way out, and we're not an argument, but just she wanted to leave, and I wanted to see the end, and she started crying, which was I don't know. I'm sure that had something to do with something else, but I don't know what. But I mean, and that's such a nightmare when they start crying. I don't know what to do. When a guy starts crying, you just step back because he's clearly insane. When a woman starts crying, I don't know what to do, you know? It's like, I get the same feeling when a woman is crying as I do when a toilet starts overflowing. It's like, no. Now I got to lock the door and live here.
Nick Griffin is our guest. Jimmy Pardo is our guest. We will be coming back with more. What am I saying?
Good.
And we got a lot of action to get to, too, including the Napa Tool of the Week. This is the Bob and Tom Show.
Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a P.S. to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the P.S. first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.